Today's scripture reading will be John chapter 3, verses 22 through 36. After this, Jesus and his disciples went out into the Judean countryside, where he spent some time with them and baptized. Now John also was baptized at Aenon near Salim, because there was plenty of water, and people were constantly coming to be baptized. This was before John was put in prison. An argument developed between some of John's disciples and a certain Jew over the matter of ceremonial washing. They came to John and said to him, "Rabbi, that man who is with you on the other side of the Jordan, the one who testified about, well, he is baptizing, and everyone is going to him." To this John replied, "A man can receive only what is given him from heaven. You yourselves can testify that," I said, "I am not Christ, but am sent ahead of him. The bride belongs to the bridegroom. The friend who attends the bridegroom waits and listens for him, and is full of joy when he hears the bridegroom's voice. That joy is mine, and it is now complete. He must become greater, I must become less. The one who comes from above is above all. The one who is from the earth belongs to the earth, and speaks as one from the earth. The one who comes from heaven is above all. He testifies to what he has seen and heard, but no one accepts his testimony. The man who has accepted it has certified that God is truthful. For the one whom God sent speaks the words of God, for God gives the Spirit without limit. The Father loves the Son and has placed everything in his hands. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life, but whoever rejects the Son will not see life, for God's wrath remains on him."
Earl Stanley Gardner was a lawyer who moved to Ventura and set up practice in 1921 and continued in practice here until 1933. He began doing some writing in his spare time in 1923. And he became famous for his stories about a fictional lawyer by the name of Perry Mason. Gardner wrote more than 80 novels about Perry Mason. The character was used in movies in the 1930s, in a radio program in the 1940s, in a television series that spanned the 1950s and 60s, and then in television movies in the 1980s and 1990s. Through this long period of time with Perry Mason as being in the American culture, and perhaps in particular with the television series of the 1950s and 60s, Americans gained an understanding about what it means to be a witness in a courtroom and what it means to give testimony. We learned that a person is called to be a witness in order to give testimony about what they have seen and heard. The purpose is to establish the truth. In his introduction to Jesus and his life, the Apostle John emphasized in his gospel the necessity of believing in Jesus as God's Son. So he wrote in John chapter 1 and verses 10 through 13, speaking of Jesus, "He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God." The Apostle John, John the Baptist, testified that Jesus is God's Son. He gave that testimony openly and joyfully so that people would believe in Jesus as their Savior and as their King. The Apostle John shows people hearing Jesus' message and seeing Jesus' miracles and believing on Jesus as that Son of God and their Savior. Jesus himself called people to believe in him and to be born anew, in other words, to be baptized of water and the Spirit so that they can enter into God's kingdom. And so it's said in John chapter 3, and there in verses 16 on through 18. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. Jesus himself later, and the Apostle Peter after him, would say that the Scriptures, what we call the Old Testament, testify about Jesus. Jesus said on one occasion, "You diligently study the Scriptures because you think that by them you possess life, eternal life. These are the Scriptures that testify about me." And Peter would say, "All the prophets testify about him," speaking of Jesus, "that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name." Jesus promised his apostles that the Holy Spirit would testify about him. God the Father testified about Jesus when Jesus was being baptized. At that time, God said, "You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." We have to ask ourselves, why all of these testimonies about Jesus? And the answer comes down to this. All of the testimonies are to establish the truth about who Jesus was and is. John the Baptist testified of what he had seen and what he had heard about Jesus. He said in John chapter 1 and in verses 32 through 34, John gave this testimony, "I saw the Spirit come down from heaven as a dove and remain on him," on Jesus. "I would not have known him except that the one who sent me to baptize with water told me, 'The man on whom you see the Spirit come down and remain is he who will baptize with the Holy Spirit.' I have seen and I testify that this is the Son of God." John the Baptist knew who he was, and he knew who he was not. And he knew what his task was. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 11 and verse 11 about John, "I tell you the truth," and here Jesus is testifying again, now to something different. "Among those born of women, there has not arisen anyone greater than John the Baptist. Yet, he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he." John the Baptist also knew who Jesus was, and he knew what Jesus' task was. John's witness was limited. It was limited to what God gave him. But Jesus' witness was unlimited. It was of supreme validity because when Jesus speaks of heavenly things, he bears witness to what he has seen and to what he has heard in the heavenly sphere. He's been there. The Apostle John also testified to what he had heard and what he had seen of Jesus. He said of Jesus in John chapter 1 and verse 14, "The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." Jesus had a testimony. His testimony was about what he had heard and seen from his Father God. Jesus once said in John chapter 5 and verse 19, "I tell you the truth, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can only do what he sees his Father doing, because whatever the Father does, the Son does also." Jesus' life and speech was his testimony. He said in John chapter 5 and verse 36, "I have testimony weightier than that of John the Baptist, For the very work that the Father has sent me to finish, and which I am doing, testifies that the Father has sent me. Jesus' testimony was God's eternal truth. Jesus said of himself, I came into the world to testify to the truth. So Jesus repeatedly says in John chapter 3 and in many other places, I tell you the truth. That was a characteristic that marked Jesus' speech. No one before him that we read about in Scripture had ever made that claim. But over and over, Jesus testified to the truth. How did he know the truth? Because he had witnessed it, heard it, and seen it by his Father God. One scholar wrote, Jesus' witness is God's perfect truth. He is God's perfect messenger and delivers God's message perfectly. No wonder he is called the one and only. God had sent many messengers over time to deliver his truth, and every one of them had a measure of the Holy Spirit as was needed for the task that God had given him. But upon the Son of God, as John said the Father told him, the Spirit remains. And as we noted earlier, God gave that Spirit without limit. So Jesus stands alone, and all of these testify of him, that that was true of him and who he was. Jesus commanded his apostles to testify about him, and they spent the remainder of their lives doing that, testifying about who Jesus was and what the Father had given him and what his role was and what our relationship ought to be to him, and what we would gain if we were in that relationship, and what we would lose if we were not. Jesus' apostle John wrote, And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. To the extent that you and I have opened our hearts to God, and that we have chosen to imitate God's character, God has been at work in our lives, changing our lives into his image more and more every day. The result of that work of God in our lives is our testimony. We can testify or tell the truth about what God has been doing in our lives. It's our story about what we have witnessed, what we have seen, what we know that God has been doing and continues to do in our life. So as witnesses, we can testify to the truth of what we know. If you're a Christian, what have you witnessed God doing in your life? You know, when there's an auto accident, particularly when it's in an area where there's a lot of people, a lot of traffic, not everyone who is there at that time is called to testify. Not everyone is deemed to be a witness. There's a select group of people who are interviewed by the police, and it's those people who have seen what happened who are called to testify. Now, there's a great many other people in that kind of a situation. They were there, they passed through, whether walking or driving, but for whatever reason, they didn't pay any attention to what was going on. I wonder if sometimes in our lives, for we who are Christians, if we're the same way. God has been doing some things in our lives. God has brought about opportunities in our lives, but we weren't paying attention. God has been trying to work on our lives to draw us closer to him, to shape us like the potter and we the clay, to be more like him in various characteristics, but
but we haven't been paying attention. If that's the case, then we're really not witnesses. We can't testify to the truth of what God has been doing in our lives. But if we have been paying attention, if we have noticed, if we've observed, if we're aware of ourselves and changes that have been going on, if we've been praying to God for His help to in fact shape us, to make us something that's not simply different, but specifically more like Him, and we've paid attention to what He's doing in response to those prayers, then we're witnesses. We've seen it. We're aware of it. We can testify to the truth of what God has been doing in us. If you are such a witness to God's action in your life, are you humbled and excited about it? I mean, the very fact that the God of heaven would recognize you personally, me personally, and that He would take the time and the effort and the care to work in our lives. Isn't that both humbling and exciting? Have you put into words your testimony of God's work in your life? Have you been able to kind of hone it down to get past kind of the excitement and the overwhelm down into just a handful of words where you can tell others what God has been doing in your life? Are you testifying about these things to both Christians and non-Christians so that their faith can be strengthened if they're Christians, and that non-Christians can come to be aware that there's something going on in your life that's powerful and that's visible, that's noticeable, that's better, that you're a changed person, that God is active in your life, that you've become one who has sacrificed your life to Christ, and now the Holy Spirit's living within you and acting within you and guiding you. Has that been your testimony? One of the things that we see within Scripture is that testimonies are not believed by everyone who hears them. Not everyone believed Jesus' testimony, nor did they believe the testimonies of His apostles in every case. And yet, Jesus commanded His apostles to testify about Him. Why? Without our testimony, without the testimony that you and I would give to God at work in our life for the better, why would anyone believe that Jesus is God's Son and their Savior? Every one of Jesus' apostles could testify about Him, about what He had done, about who He was, about why it was necessary to believe in Him as God's Son and Savior. And they could testify to the change that had come about in their life because of Him. So here's my challenge for every one of us who are Christians. It comes down to one word: pray. Pray that God helps you to open your heart to Him so He can bless your life, so He can show you without a doubt His power to work in your life. Pray that God helps you to recognize, to witness His effect on your life. That you're awake and alert, that you're paying attention to what you want God to do and what He wants to do in your life. Pray that God both humbles you and excites you about His work in your life, about why He sent the Son, Jesus the Christ, to be our Savior, about why we needed that, and what a blessing, an untold blessing, an unavailable blessing in any other way but through Jesus Christ. Pray that God helps you to put what you've witnessed in your life and what you've read about in God's Word into simple words. Pray that God gives you courage and joy to testify to others about God's work in your life, about God's gracious gift in our lives by way of his son Jesus. Pray that those to whom you testify believe your testimony, act upon your testimony, and are saved by way of your testimony. And pray that those people in turn will testify about God working in their lives and testify about Jesus and what he promises to do and has the power to do and is doing in lives all around this world. John chapter 3 in verses 35 and 36 testifies, "The Father loves the Son and has placed everything in his hands. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. But whoever rejects the Son will not see life, for God's wrath remains on him." What is your testimony? Do you believe Jesus is God's Son and your Savior? Have you been born anew by water and Spirit as you were baptized in order to have eternal life? Are you testifying to the truth of who Jesus is and what he does and what he's doing in your life? Is your life a living testimony to God's truth at work in you? If we can help you in any part of that, we urge you to come forward right now as we stand and sing.